The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is indisposed at the moment.
I'm afraid he's been having GI problems and uncomfortable bloating.
But I'm sure he'll be out in a jiff.
Oh, here he is now.
Looking pale and shaken. Oh, you okay, little buddy?
The Eric Metaxas Show.
I'm sorry, what? Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Look, let's cut to the chase. I have Ken Fish in the studio here in New York. Ken Fish, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
I just love to have you in here and to talk and talk and talk. I want to say to people, by the way, you're going to be back here in New York February 7th for several weeks.
That's right.
So if people are in the New York area, now you get around. I mean, people can find you everywhere, but your website is kingdomfireministries.org.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. We were going to talk about your recent time in Scotland.
Right.
So Suzanne, my wife, was there with her sister. I didn't get to go, but they got cheap tickets and they said, hey, why not? And it sounds like a lot of stuff happened.
It was a really good time. A lot did go on. One of the other stories that I can tell you about is there was a woman present in the meetings who was a groundskeeper in the area. Now, I say groundskeeper because it's more than a gardener. It's a larger piece of property.
Okay, this is in Scotland. I want to be clear again if people are just tuning in, they say, who's Ken Fish? You're a minister. You pray for people. You see people get healed in the name of Jesus. You see all kinds of stuff, and it's fascinating. I've gotten to know you. And so you were telling me about this particular issue. So this woman's a groundskeeper at this estate in Scotland. Okay.
Right. So anyway, she had actually been converted a while back, maybe a year or two ago. Because
to the Christian faith,
to the Christian faith, from nothing at all. Because she, well, I was at a home in Texas, and I was talking with the person who owned the home in Texas about this groundskeeper, because the owner of the home was concerned about the groundskeeper. And I said, well, I think the issue is that she's engaging in necromancy, which means communicating with the dead. And a lot of people try to do this, whether through mediums or spiritualists or various other kinds of occultic practices. But anyway.
Communing with the dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And we want to be really clear. If you're communing with the dead,
that's
not
okay.
That. Don't do that anymore. No, it's kind of funny because people think, well, whoa, what's wrong? What's wrong? No, it's forbidden in the Bible pretty clearly. And you have seen that it is dark and scary and you do not want to do it.
Right. It always creates problems.
Okay, go ahead.
So she'd been doing that, and I said, and she's standing in, I see her standing in this garden area, and I kind of described it, and I said, and she's trying to communicate with her dead grandmother. So the woman in Dallas said, hang on. She picks up her cell phone and calls the woman overseas and says, have you been doing this in this part of the garden? And she says, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. It was kind of a, how would you know that? And so based on that, she subsequently gave her life to Christ because she realized that there was no human way that anybody could know that except that God, by prophecy or word of knowledge is the more narrow niche of prophecy, was pointing it out. So, all right, now she's, you know, born again. Well, earlier this year, she was baptized because now she's a born-again Christian.
Right.
And then she came along to these meetings that we were holding in Scotland. And what I thought was really amazing was that, you know, the scripture says of Jesus in Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I think sometimes people believe that in some kind of general sense. Well, you know, life's hard and Jesus, you know, he cares that life is hard and that's about it. But I actually read that passage a little bit more specifically, namely, the griefs and sorrows that we carry, Jesus is willing to take them up because that's part of what he paid for when he died. And so this woman was touched by the Spirit of God in a number of ways that I think collectively we would call all of them either inner healing or some kind of healing of memories. You know, we've talked on this show about prophecy. We've talked about healing. We've talked about deliverance. We haven't done as much speaking about inner healing or healing of memories. But this is an incredibly important area because many times people are traumatized by things from their past, and they carry around the wounds of those experiences for years. One of the more obvious examples of this would be what we commonly call post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. Many of our soldiers are returning from, you know, combat, tours of duty, having seen horrible things or having gone through horrible things themselves. And many times, you know, their lives are never the same. And, you know, the doctors that work with these soldiers say there is no cure for PTSD. We don't know what to do with it. But through healing of memories, Jesus will go into those memories and remove the trauma and heal those people so that they're able to lead whole, healthy, we might say sane lives. But I mean sane in the sense of balanced and well-ordered.
Well, what's interesting to me is that there are many things for which there is no human cure.
That's right.
When you talk about PTSD, whatever, I think, you know, what are the doctors going to tell you? Take this pill and that's all we can do for you and whatever. Right. So you're saying, yeah, but God actually can heal the unhealable.
That's right.
And you've seen this stuff.
That's correct. So this woman, she was healed. Now, hers wasn't PTSD per se, but she had been a rape victim. And so she was carrying something around from all of that. And the Lord completely set her free. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
There's so many people walking around with pain from something that happened, whether it's sexual molestation or something horrible. And, you know, one of the reasons, again, I want to have you on this program is to let people know, look, there are things you can do. God can heal you of this. People need to know, because otherwise I would say, you know, not only talking about people who don't go to church, but people who go to church will never in a million years in that church hear anything like what you're saying. There are many churches they themselves don't even know this exists.
Right.
That the Spirit of God can heal somebody today in 2017, 2018. You can be healed of this kind of thing.
That's right.
And I, again, one of the reasons I want to have you on is to let people know, hey, folks, that there are options. God loves you and he wants to heal you, and that's real. And because it can be so hopeless. You know, you think I'm the only one. I've just got to live with this. Well, maybe not.
That's right. Can I do something really unusual, Eric?
I'm sure you can.
Just now while we were talking about this, I had a very clear impression that there's a woman listening to this while she's driving down the road. She's in her car, and she had one of these experiences 17 years ago. And she has not been able to get free of it. She can't shake the memory of it. When she closes her eyes, it's there. And she's always on edge anytime she's around people because she was so traumatized by what happened. And I just want to say that, you know, I'm saying this because the Lord knows who she is. And he wants her to know that he knows who she is. And I'd like to have one of my team pray with her so she can be released from what she's carrying around. So if she would just write to my office, info@kingdomfireministries.org, and get in touch with us, we'll have somebody minister to her.
info@kingdomfireministries.org.
That's right.
And if people go to the website, they can you asked if you could do something kind of weird on this program, and then you just did it.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird, man. Nobody's ever done that on this program, but I like weird stuff. I think it's cool. It's great.
Well, let me tell you another weird story.
This stuff is real. People need to understand, hey, here's the issue. There's real stuff here. Just because there are frauds out there, just because people are screwy, and it doesn't mean that there's not some element of
reality
to this.
Well, the only reason people ever commit fraud is there's something worth having that's worth emulating, because if you can get away with it, there's value in it, right? So people counterfeit money because money has some value, although less than it used to. And just so, people counterfeit, or whatever you want to say, fake these things that we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Not because the gifts themselves are fake, but because they think they can gain some advantage by doing so.
We're going to go to a break here. Folks, I'm talking to Ken Fish, KingdomFireMinistries.org. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Do me a favor, if you can, go to MetaxasTalk.com. Check out the website, see what's there. And if you like any of these programs, send the podcast to a friend. Let people know about the program. There's so many people out there, they have no idea we're doing what we're doing. I appreciate that. Thank you. Eric Metaxas Show. You can tell by the freaky bumper music. Ken Fish, you just asked me, who picks all these songs? And I said with great pride, I do. I do. I have eclectic taste. That's why it's the show about everything. I like to talk about everything. This, sports, politics, whatever, right. Movies, books. Okay, we were just talking about
People being healed of trauma,
yeah.
Inner healing. And but then I wanted to transition and talk about Australia, which was my next stop on this kind of 2-month run.
You get to Australia a lot, don't you?
I do. This year I've been there 4 times, and I've spent just about 12 weeks there. Next year I'm reducing a bit because I'm going to be in New York quite a bit more, and there's only 52 weeks in a year.
Right.
So I'm differentially allocating to New York City next year.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
We need help here badly.
Yep. Well, we're working on that.
Yeah, no, I know.
We're also training a team of people that can minister in this same way.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that this is not just about a handful of people that are, you know, magically gifted somehow, but that this is something that God wants for everybody. And but you have to train people, first of all, to understand it and to know, you know, because I have seen, when it comes to all this freaky stuff, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, I have had people prophesy over me tons of times, and a number of times it was straight up wrong, or it did not come to pass when they said it was going to happen. And you get angry and cynical.
Yeah.
And you start saying, this is all garbage.
That's
what is
right.
These people are insane. What is there, you know? And the fact of the matter is, that's why I do get angry, because I want to tell these people, if you do not know what you're saying is of God, do not say it. Feel free to shut up.
Right.
Because you are driving people away from God and away from these things. Make sure you understand how to handle these incredible gifts.
That's right.
And there's so many people that, you know, say, this is going to happen, or that's going to, and you kind of cling to this promise. And then if it doesn't happen, you think, what was that?
Right.
You know, it's very important that people take this stuff seriously. And I think those in the church who have dealt with these things in a sloppy way, you're really, you know, you're doing something very, very harmful. You need to be really careful with this.
Yeah, one of the things that I talk about in one of my teachings is something I took from St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order. And that is that, you know, when we speak these prophetic words, we really need to be in a place of what I call spiritual neutrality, which is kind of a strange term. But what I mean by that is you almost need to think about a marble maybe balanced on the edge of a razor blade. If you lean a little bit too much to the one side or the other, the marble's going to fall off.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times when it comes to prophetic words, particularly when we're speaking to people about whom we care deeply, their friends or family, we want them to be happy. We want them to be out of pain. We want them to have a good life. And so oftentimes we prophesy out of the realm of the soul, really our good intentions for them and our kind wishes, versus speaking by the Spirit himself. And, you know, the prophets in the Bible, they're very clear. They say, the word of the Lord came to me. And so sometimes, you know, if we're going to get a word from God, we actually have to wait a bit. You know, there's a passage in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 42, 7. The elders of Israel come to Jeremiah, and the city's under siege. And they, you know, it's impending fall is coming. And everybody's understandably concerned. And they ask him, hey, Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah says, I don't know. Let me go inquire of the Lord. That shows you the discipline of a seasoned prophetic minister, that they don't just reflexively speak. Now, if they have the word, fine. But Jeremiah obviously did not. And this is Jeremiah. You know, he's one of the longest prophetic books.
Jeremiah, he's famous.
Well, not the bullfrog, though.
He's in the Bible. Yeah, that's totally different Jeremiah.
Right.
That's in the Apocrypha.
And so the prophet Jeremiah goes away, and it says, 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to him. He waited on God 10 days to get a word. And so a lot of times people come around and they say, well, you know, you're going to get married, or you're going to get healed, or your child's going to be well, or you're going to get a promotion. And we have to be very, very careful with these things, that we are really hearing from God and not just prophesying, as Jeremiah says, out of our own soul.
Interesting. Well, because I have never received, to my knowledge, words from the Lord for anybody or anything along those lines, I don't know what that's like. So it's hard for me to understand how somebody can say, here's what's going to happen, God's saying this or that, and then it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, what are you hearing? Like, I don't really get that.
Well, there's different ways that words from God can come to you. That word I gave for the woman driving in the car a few minutes ago, that happened because as we were talking about it, I saw in my mind's eye a picture. Some would call it a vision, but it wasn't an open vision. An open vision would be like that TV screen that's behind you. No one else can see it, but I can see it. That's an open vision. But this is more in the realm of an interior vision. That's what St. Teresa of Avila called them.
Right.
And when you see interior visions, that doesn't mean they're not true. It just means they're interior. So I saw that. But I have
had a couple of those while I was praying. Just a couple over a course of, you know, 25 years. But it's markedly different than a mental image. In other words, right now I can close my eyes and I can think of something or think of it. That's nothing compared to this. This is like a TV screen in your brain to some extent.
That's right.
And it's startling. It's amazing. You know, realize, like, that's a vision. That's not just a thought I had. But I'm sure there's a continuum, that there are different ways that people hear from God and stuff. But you're saying that a few minutes ago when you said that, you actually had one of these.
Yeah. And I could add to that, by the way, that she either lives somehow in the Great Plains area, maybe northern Kansas, southern Nebraska, or she's from that area. Maybe this happened 17 years ago when she lived in that area.
And where do you get that?
I could see the landscape, and I knew what the terrain was.
It's like you just have a knowing that that's Kansas, Nebraska, or something like that. It's fascinating. Again, I'm fascinated with this because these are gifts that some people have, some people don't. I know that we can all pray that God give us gifts, and we can hone the gifts we have.
That's right.
Or we can ignore them. But not everybody is going to have the same kind of gift. You've been chosen by God. You've got a certain gift, and some people will and some people won't. And, you know, that's kind of the way it goes.
Well, the scripture does say that all can prophesy by turn. So there is an open door there. 1 Corinthians 14 speaks of the availability of the gift of prophecy to everybody. But there are degrees of that, and there's also degrees of clarity within that. I mean, even if you talk to people who are very seasoned at this, sometimes it's as clear as, you know, this tabletop, and other times it's more hazy, it's less obvious. So, all words come the same.
I've had a handful of interesting experiences. I remember once, must have been 2005, my Everything About God book had just come out, and I was going down to the subway. I had a copy with me, and I remember as I came down into the subway, I had this clear choice about, do I go this way or this way? And I just said, God, which way do you want me to go? It was like one of these weird things. And I just followed where God wanted me to go, which I really get that. I don't even know. I can't even describe it. But I remember getting this picture of like black and white. Like, I don't know if it's a nun or a penguin or something, but it was clear black, white. I was like, whoa. What was that, God? Now, again, this does not happen to me normally. This is very, very rare for me. But it was like one of these experiences. It wasn't like knock you over the head mystical, but it was – that was interesting. What was that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get on the subway, And I'm thinking about this, and I'm standing against the door, kind of facing the door, you know, where you go across and you stand there. And the we go one stop, the door opens, and a Catholic priest with black and white just, like, steps right into the car. And it was like, boom. Like, it was so clear from the way he was dressed. Like, this is what I just... This saw. Was that's what this was.
You sure God wasn't calling you to be a priest?
Maybe.
Okay.
But it was, like, so extraordinary to me. I thought, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Like, he just, the door opens and boom, there he is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I have to give him this book. I mean, this is, there's something here. I don't know what this is. But I just said to him, you know, listen, I think I just wrote this book and I want you to get just something. Who knows? I don't know who he was. I'll probably never see him again, or, you know, he may have thrown the book away. I don't know. But it was one of those experiences. And I've had some experiences like that over the years. Not a ton, nothing like what you describe. But I know that this stuff is real, that this stuff is it can happen. And I just say that because I think that we all need to be open to it. And we all need to know, I've got to say this again and again and again, this is always has to be consonant with what the scripture teaches. You know, you can't, this is not about finding something beyond the Bible. This has all got to be biblical stuff, you know,
right.
and it's got to be, it's got to glorify Jesus. Anyway, we're going to be right back talking to Ken Fish. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, our website, metaxastalk.com.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Ken Fish loves this song. Ken, I got a question for you.
Sure.
What happened in Australia? You were in Australia recently.
Yeah, well, the Australia trip was an amazing trip, too. But, you know, people often ask me, what's the highlight, or what was the best story to come out of any particular trip? And, you know, we went to this town that I had not been to before. I was aware of it. It's right in the heart of the gold mining fields of Victoria, the state of Victoria. And so we went up there, and there's a woman in that town that has been to meetings I've led elsewhere in the state of Victoria. And she sent me a Facebook message and said, you know, we have a woman from our kind of wider faith community here. And she's in the hospital, and she's dying, and she has cirrhosis of the liver. And, you know, could you come by to pray for her? And I said, well, you know, my schedule is really tight. And it was. I wasn't just saying that. And I said, I actually don't know if I can make it. But, you know, she was persistent, and she approached my assistant. She approached me again. She talked to the pastor of the church that was sponsoring the meetings I was doing. And anyway, we finally worked it out that we would go by the hospital and pray for her after dinner, but before the meeting one night, which we did. And then I showed up at the meeting a little bit late. The worship was going on, but, you know, I didn't miss all the worship, and I was there in time to speak. So anyway, we go to the hospital, and here's this woman lying in her hospital bed. And, you know, she's almost as white as that sheet of paper in front of you. And she's thin and gaunt, and, you know, she's on all the life support systems and so forth. And her husband was there, and two other friends were there, and then the guy that drove me over there, and then we're all together. And I talked to her for a few minutes, and then we put our hands on her and started to pray. And when we started praying, it was initially, I would say, about what you'd expect. Not much was going on. It was pretty quiet. And all of a sudden, there was this bolt of power that hit the woman. And I say a bolt of power because she kind of looked like that. You know, she sort of, her eyes jerked open, and she was in bed, kind of languid. And all of a sudden she did like that, and her entire body starts to shake. And I mean, like, shake like this. And I'm deliberately doing that on the table, hoping the mic will, you know, pick it up. But she's vibrating in the bed, and everybody around is looking at her. And, it, you know, it looks like there's an electrical current going through her body, and she's being electrocuted. Well, the next day she was discharged from the hospital, and I got a report from the friend that had kind of tracked me down and tried to get me to go by to pray for her about a week later. And she said, yeah, she's out. She's recovering. She's doing great. Everything's fine. No issues.
That's insane. Okay, so do the doctors acknowledge this?
Oh, yeah. Well, they discharged her. They just said, we don't know what to make of this, so, you know, free to go.
But where was she in terms of her health before you prayed for her? Say that again.
Well, she was in a hospital bed, in a hospital, dying.
No, no, right. I know that. But at what stage in this was she? She was,
well, I,
they
what
were
I
not
was
expecting
told,
her
I,
to go home. This is it.
That's correct. They were not expecting her to go home, and I was told that she had a matter of a few days left.
Unbelievable. Well, okay, just to prove that, you know, you're not some sorcerer, you often pray for people and you don't get the results you want.
Yeah, that does happen too.
We had, I want to say this just because we're friends, right? I had a friend who I thought she was dying. Her name is Charis Khan. She was an editor at Harper's Magazine, brilliant writer, amazing human being. And nobody knew what was wrong with her. It was just weird and stuff. And I went to visit her, and she was not doing well. I was like, what is going on? She's dying. And so I asked you to come over and pray for her, and you came over with Kate. This is like about a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Almost exactly a year ago. And I remember I visited her, and it was way before you got there because you were stuck out in Long Island or something like that. And when I walked in the room, she looked like death.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. She had lost so much weight, and she just looked
terrible.
Like, this is somebody who's dying.
Yeah.
And you came over and we prayed for at least 2 hours. I mean, we prayed for a long time and you saw a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
This was not just like we're not getting anything. You saw a lot of spiritual stuff and this and that, and you prayed. And I walked out of there expecting the next day I'm going to get a praise report that I feel different. I feel something like that. But I didn't hear from her for a while. And I thought, And then I texted her and it just seemed like nothing had happened. And you scratch your head because I thought we prayed. You have seen miracles. You just
That's
described
right.
this miracle in Australia. So I didn't hear anything from her. And then some weeks later, her dear friend Eileen texts me that she'd had a stroke. So she's in the hospital, whatever. Long story short, she died. I was with her about 2 days before she died. She was on a respirator. She just looked like she was at death's door, and she was, and she passed away. And I think, you know, I mentioned this to you, but I say this for people to help process this stuff, that sometimes this is not magic.
That's right.
This is not magic. I mean, you were there for 2 hours out of the goodness of your heart with Kate. I was there. And we're believing God and we're praying and praying and praying. Charis Khan was one of the most amazing people I've ever met, I have to say. She was brilliant, brilliant writer, just an extraordinary human being. And she came to faith kind of bizarrely about 2 or 3 years ago. Like, this mm-hmm. was the last person I ever thought would become a Christian. Mm-hmm. She was just like Brooklyn, you know, just a in the literary world, politically very liberal and stuff. And she became a Christian. And so the whole thing's interesting, but she obviously did not get healed. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because I think I want people to understand we're being realistic here, folks. This doesn't work all the time. This is not magic. We'll be right back.
Never know what you'll catch. Just the other day, I heard of a soldier's falling off some
folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. That's the Orange Peels talking to Ken Fish. Ken Fish, so we're talking about how sometimes prayer doesn't work. People die and we're baffled. So my friend Charis Khan, she was a senior editor at Harper's Magazine, just genius writer, one of the most delightful friends I've ever had. She came to faith. I knew her for 30 years. She came to faith very recently, which was an astounding thing. And then she's dying. And then, you know, you prayed and prayed and prayed and she passed away. It's just a head scratcher. You think, I don't get it.
Right.
And you were then you just brought up Nabil Qureshi. A lot of right. people listen to this program. We had him on about 2 years ago. He was a Muslim who was converted miraculously to Christianity. And he had, was it esophageal cancer? I can't remember.
It started as stomach cancer and then it metastasized.
Okay. And so everybody was praying for him. And I think either I put you in touch with him or I can't remember how that worked out.
No, you
out.
Did.
And
I went to Houston and prayed for him personally. I think I had 8 sessions with him total, and I think the shortest of them was 2 hours. So I put considerable time into praying for Nabil. And the last time I saw him, he died on September 17th or 16th. I can't remember. I was in Australia, and Australia is a day ahead of the U.S., so I may have the date off by one. But anyway, he died mid-September. I remember I woke up on a Sunday morning, and I had a message on my phone. You know, Nabil died essentially while you, Ken, were sleeping in Australia. And I had to preach that morning, and I was not in a good frame of mind. I thought I did a terrible job, but the people in the church said it was amazing. So, you know, God goes beyond our own abilities and grief. But, you know, I grew to love Nabil, and, you know, he was quite a bit younger than I am. But, you know, he had said to me while he was alive, if the Lord heals me of this, I want to travel with you and learn to do this, and, you know, I want to do this with you. So in some ways, I kind of viewed him almost as what nowadays people call a spiritual son. And I've been in touch with his widow since then. You know, she's only 31 years old. She's 31 years old. She was 29 when he was diagnosed. And he has a 2-year-old daughter. I mean, it was a tragic situation. And the last time I saw him, you know, we prayed and we had an amazing time of prayer, just the two of us. And the power of God came over his body, and he looked at me and he said, "I've never felt anything like that. What was that?" And I said, "That was the power of the Holy Spirit." And I was just getting ready to leave for Australia, and I said, "Nabil, either I'll see you when I get back or I'll see you in heaven." I said, "I don't know which way it's going to go." I said, "It looks to me like probably God touched you and you're going to recover, but I can't guarantee that." Well, he died while I was on the trip, so obviously he didn't get well. So that leaves us with the question of, you know, what is that? I mean, how does that really work? And the only thing we can say is, you know, we don't control the end of life. I mean, sometimes we do if we want to engage in euthanasia, but we're not supposed to. God himself is the one who calls the spirit back, because he gives us the spirit that is in us while we live. And the scripture says, "It is appointed unto men and women once to die, and after that comes judgment." All of us are going to die, every one of us, including you and me. We don't know when, we may not know how, but we know we're going to die. And sometimes that happens, we would say, out of time, when it shouldn't happen. I mean, there's no reason that a 34-year-old man with a 2-year-old daughter and a 31-year-old wife should go die. But he did, and, you know, we did our best. Now, could there have been more there? Maybe. I don't know. But we did not find what was necessary in order to secure healing for Nabil. And, you know, I've had a number of times when I've thought about this, and at the moment I'm pretty composed, but when I was on the air with Justin Brierley, I broke down crying in the middle of talking about this on the air. So these are real things, and there is still death in the world, even in the midst of healing and great blessing.
It's I just felt it's important to be honest with my audience about this, because as much as you have seen tremendous, miraculous victory, you have seen things like this. And, you know, when the thing happened with Charis, you think, "Lord, what? I don't get it.
Why?
Yeah. Why?" It's, you know, I want to be clear, though, really clear, to say that most of us, especially in the West, have such a shallow view of reality. We think this world is basically all there is, and there's this thing that sort of might be there called heaven, but I don't want to go there. I want to be here. I think that if we have a real sense of who God is and what it will be like to be in his presence. Anytime I've talked to people who have visited heaven, and, you know, we've had a number of them on the show, Mary Neal and others, you realize the greatest thing that could ever happen to me would be to die and go to heaven. Like, you can't even, you know, when you hear these people tell these stories.
Right.
But we clearly don't get it. We clearly don't believe it. We think, like, oh, the worst thing, somebody could die. And you think, well, maybe from our point of view, but our point of view is pretty messed up.
Right.
So have you ever visited heaven? Have you ever seen anything along those lines?
Yeah, but I don't talk about it very much.
You don't talk about it very much?
Right.
What about right now? Do you talk about it right now?
Well, it depends what you want to ask me.
Anything. I don't know. whatever. What can you tell me?
Well, you know, as the Apostle Paul said, when he was caught up to the third heaven, you know, he saw things that he was not permitted to speak about. But it's more than just sitting around on fluffy clouds, you know, with angel wings and learning to play the harp.
Well, it's way more than
it's like, way
first
more
first
than
of
that.
All, actually, it's not way more than that. It's not that.
Right.
It's not that.
Yeah. I like to call it super reality. You know, we talk about how we live in the realm of reality.
Yeah.
But many of our natural abilities are heightened in heaven. You know, the scripture speaks of how we have tasted of the powers of the coming age. This is Hebrews 6:5. So when the kingdom breaks in and we operate in the realm of the spirit, it's just a tiny little drop of that, but it gives us some sense of what the future may hold.
But you have had glimpses of heaven.
Yes.
Many times or just once?
No, several.
Several times. And recently or no?
Most recently was probably when I was in Israel in October.
So not that long ago.
Yeah.
And does it happen when you're praying or it just happens or what?
Usually it happens when I'm praying or worshiping, you know, in a service. But it has happened, you know, that I've, you know, been somewhere and it just seems like I'm not there.
Heavy stuff, man. We'll be right back. Final segment with Ken Fish. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Please tell your friends about these shows.
Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor.
Everybody's going places, doing things. Look at all the smiling faces. Sing.
Having a ball.
Doing the number.
Talking to Ken Fish on the Eric Metaxas Show. Just a few minutes left. Ken, what else can we talk about? Heaven.
Well.
Hell.
Yeah, that's a popular one, right?
That's a popular one.
Everybody
well, we need to let people know that this stuff is real. Like, hell is real.
Right.
And I always think, like, you know, people want to talk about annihilationism let's put it this way, folks. Let's say everybody goes to heaven eventually. Let's say, okay, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying let's say you think, okay, do you understand what it would be like to be in hell for 5 minutes or 5 years or 500 years? Like, it's so horrific.
Right.
We need to deal with this. We need to deal with the reality of hell. Now, have you ever seen any visions of hell?
You know, yes, I have. One time I was praying for somebody who is a very prominent leader in another land, and there had been a number of things assailing him and his family, and, you know, no one was getting anywhere with this, including me. And I went off for a time of extended prayer, and I knelt down to pray, and as I did, all of a sudden I had an open vision, and I could see the gates of hell. And they were arrayed in front of me. And I was reminded that Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And I thought, what is this? And the Lord said, these are the gates of hell that are opened against my servant. This man's a prominent Christian leader. And he said, I want you to make sure that these gates are closed. But I could see them very clearly. They were outlined and there was... I want to be very careful about what I say because this is going to stretch too many listeners, and I don't want to lose my own credibility by what I say. So, but it was terrifying, it was dreadful, it was very clear to me before my open eyes what I was seeing, and all I can say is the flames of hell are quite real.
Now, why do you say you don't? I guess you were going to lean into something, and then
I've just learned along the road of life that sometimes less is more.
Yeah,
and I am concerned of how people would react if I say too much. So I'd rather just okay. not say too
can
much.
Can you tell me off the air?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I think that this stuff is so little talked about
right.
that it's important for us to talk about it. Right. I know you. You're not crazy. If you're telling me you had a vision of hell, unfortunately, that's real. That's, you know, and I want to people to understand it because we don't talk about that very much anymore. We don't talk about the devil or demons and stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is real.
That's correct.
And when you open a door, whether it's doing something sexually you shouldn't do or harboring a vicious anger towards somebody that God says you better forgive them, you're opening doors to hell, to the demonic. That is real.
Right.
And if you don't want problems in your life, if you want to be able to walk through life the way God intended you, you got to deal with this stuff.
That's
this
right.
is real.
That's right.
And, you know, you can find kooky people to talk about it, or you can find sane people and reasonable people. But the point is, you should deal with it. Find somebody to talk to. Well, we're out of time.
All right.
Ken, always a joy to speak with you. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me back, and I'll see you the next time I
Absolutely.
Come to New York.
Absolutely, and the website is kingdomfireministries.org.
That's correct.
Okay, folks, if you want to find out where Ken's going to be, kingdomfireministries.org. Thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.